Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Kumanda wagona ko ukuchita chiyani bwanji sukuti uza wo oh 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 oh, oh.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. As you may know, in addition to these Soundcheck podcasts, we also do a weekly music roundup online at soundcheck.org and often on the air here at WNYC. Last year, I included this song on one of those roundups. There's something very simple and sad and beautiful about it, at least I thought so. And after we did the on-air segment, the crew in the control room all started asking about it. The song comes from the Zomba Prison Project, recorded in a notorious East African prison by the producer and author Ian Brennan. Ian's latest project sees him return to East Africa to record yet another unheard group of people, the Tanzania Albinism Collective. Ian Brennan, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
That, before we get too far away from that song, that's a prison guard at the Zomba prison.
Yeah, it is. It's Thomas Bonomo, who's an incredibly gifted individual and wrote just a stellar ballad for the first album and maybe even a more transcendent one, which we just heard for the second one, which he wrote for his wife and specifically for the record. It was a hard thing for him to write, but it's one of those things that when you hear it, yeah, you know you're hearing something special.
Yeah, and so that's from the second volume of the Zomba Prison Project. Important to say that that was in Malawi.
Yes.
Where you can be imprisoned for things that are not crimes, that we would not consider crimes.
Yes. Yeah, it's still technically illegal, homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And the witchcraft stuff is very complicated because they have to do, they feel, due process if somebody believes that a crime has occurred. And since some people still believe in witchcraft, some people are still held and tried. And because the bureaucracy is so clogged, innocent people oftentimes end up being held for months, years, and even to their own death.
So it's important also to say that a lot of these musicians, a lot of the people you work with now in Tanzania and elsewhere, are not professional musicians. In fact, some of them weren't even musicians until you got there.
Yeah, we seek out individuals that have been underheard and not been given a platform. And I really firmly believe in the idea that almost everybody is a musician, mm-hmm, though they may not believe that they are and have not been given an opportunity to do so.
Yeah. So this Tanzania Albinism Collective is an interesting project. We've heard on this program in the past from Salif Keita,
yes,
who, despite being from a royal family in West Africa, as an albino, had to grow up with, you know, surrounded by superstition and prejudice and things like that. That's in West Africa. What is the situation like in East Africa, in Tanzania?
Well, each country is different. Tanzania has the highest rate of albinism in the world. Ukerewe Island, which is the largest inland island in Africa, which is where we recorded, and Lake Victoria is extremely isolated, so they have an even higher rate of albinism. And there, the belief has been sort of escalated by some of the witch doctors in the area that it's worth money, that if you take the body parts or kill these individuals for their body parts, that it will make you rich. And in a country that's impoverished, it's not surprising that those that might, you know, not have a strong moral character might be tempted to some degree, particularly if they see these individuals as foreign, other, threatening, and as subhuman.
Right.
And that's always the issue with violence, is anytime we see somebody as not an equal but less than, it makes violence more permissible.
So this island is a community where families who have albino children, will they send them there, that sort of thing?
Well, there's a confluence of factors. Historically, it's so isolated, takes over 4 hours by a ferry ride to get there, that people would abandon their children there. Many people have gone there for protection. Some people have been sent there for protection.
So are they, I mean, as part of the kind of persecution of these people, are they forbidden to sing? Is that, did I read that somewhere?
Yeah.
They're not even allowed in church to sing?
Well, it's very complicated. And as we, you know, often Marlena Deli and I, my wife who does the videos and photos, we really try to represent these things as fairly and as accurately as we can. And sometimes in hindsight, you begin to doubt yourself. Have we fictionalized it? Have we dramatized it? And luckily, we have tried to have sustainable relationships with the artists in all these projects. And when you go back, usually you find out the story's even worse.
Yeah.
There's even more that you didn't know. And so what we knew was that, and we didn't know until we arrived at the island, was not only were they not musicians, but they had not been allowed to sing in church, which was just one of the more shocking things I had heard about social ostracization, because we think back to the times of slavery in America, that was the one place that
right.
some people were granted some freedom. If it was for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours on a Sunday, they were at least granted that. There was so much shame around their condition that they were shut in. They were basically never taken anywhere.
Hmm.
And so what happened is that a lot of them, when they're left alone for hours, would sing.
Hmm.
So they were singers. They were singers. They were singing for themselves. They were performing for themselves. They were healing themselves. So some of them really came out full-born singers, and no one ever knew.
So a lot of the songs in the Tanzania Albinism Collective, a lot of them are very melancholy. The one I want to play first is simply called Sorrows.
Kuzaliwa kwake mwanangu kulitabiriwa zamani kwamba atazaliwa mwana atakuwa ni mlemavu. Kuzaliwa kwake mwanangu kulitabiriwa zamani kwamba atazaliwa mwana atakuwa ni mlemavu. Shukrani kwa Bwana Mungu kumtoa mtoto huyu nipeleke zawadi zangu nikampe Bwana Yesu. Shukrani kwa Bwana Mungu kumtoa mtoto huyu nipeleke zawadi zangu nikampe Bwana Yesu.
Recorded in Tanzania on this large inland island where there's a community of albino Tanzanians. That's the song called Sorrows, produced by Ian Brennan, who's here with me in the Soundcheck studio. So the Tanzania Albinism Collective, and who's the singer there?
That's Sabina, who is a mother of somebody with albinism. And this is the albinism community. And a little known aspect of it is that in many ways, the people that suffer as much as anyone else will be the family members mm-hmm. that stand by the individual with albinism.
So Sabina there is singing, and she's got like a little kind of simple drone, sounds like a little Casio keyboard or something like that. Do you provide, when you do these workshops, do you provide them with, you know, kind of the tools they might need?
Yeah, we bring instruments for them to experiment with. We encourage them to experiment. This is a very experimental record. This is more akin to a Captain Beefheart record than it is to a world music record. It's not a world music record. It's a lo-fi DIY punk record, and it's meant to be. And almost all of the percussion and the majority of the instruments really on the record are found percussion, literally from the earth of mm-hmm. the island, right there, you know, bottles and hammers and brooms and you know, are all over this record.
So how did you start down this road? I mean, you were a kind of quote-unquote regular record producer, right, at some point?
Well, I was probably a bad record producer. So I guess that would make me a regular record producer. I mean, I've been doing it for 30 years, and, you know, I one of my big epiphanies, I mean, there's waves for all of us, I think, but one of my big epiphanies was that on Vic Chestnut's first tour in 1990, my band was playing with him, and, you know, I'd done a bunch of records already, and we were there, you know, I watched him play one song, and I was like, I'll never be that good, ever.
Still she sang, I can't believe you on this attitude. she sang, I can't believe you on this attitude.
So I did whatever I could to help him. Not, I wasn't able to do much, but over the years, you know, because I love what he did and I loved him. And that kind of started me down that path. And I just became extremely, and am extremely fatigued by the cycle of hype around music that is essentially the same. I mean, in my heart, whether it's, you know, voluntary or involuntary, you know, I love, you know, American guitar rock, but there's nothing new under the sun. Marginal differences, and that's fine. That's craft. That's not art. And there's a lot of artistry out there that's being masked by that. And I think that's a crime. I believe in democracy, and the average person on the street, but even hardcore music lovers, could not name you a single artist from most countries in the world. Not one.
Yeah. You actually produced a record by Tanarawen, who, you know, if you ask people to name a band from Mali and they're somewhat conversant in the world music field, they might know Tanarawen because they've, you know, they've gotten onto the kind of the festival circuit, so to speak. And you actually brought together Kip and Tunde from TV on the Radio with Tanarawen. What was bringing together that confluence of East and West? Seems like it might kind of play against what you were just talking about, you know, this kind of...
Well, it could, but it was born out of love and friendship. Tanarawen refused to play with anybody if they didn't know them, if they didn't meet them, if they didn't like them. It had to start there. It's a community. Kip and Tunde are amazingly funny and smart individuals, aside from being great musicians and respectful musicians. But Tanarawen is essentially a great guitar band.
Yeah.
And that's what they should be known as. They should not be known as a band from Mali. They should not be known as a world music act. They should be able to go out on stage in their plain clothes and just play, and people should love it.
But they
it.
Don't wear plain clothes.
Well, they. They have no clothes. Yeah, so it's but they're just an incredible band, and this was the record, Tazili was the record they wanted to make, which was in the desert, live, without almost any overdubs, with Ibram as the focus, and really focusing on the songs. And I think it bore fruit, because it's a really special and beautiful record. They're incapable of making a bad record, but this is a very special record.
Let's hear an excerpt from it. It was produced by my guest, Ian Brennan, and this particular song does feature Tunde Adebimpe and Kip Malone from TV on the Radio.
Tenere, oh jealous desert, why can't you see you are a treasure? I've seen the world, I love you better. Oh Tenere, you are the treasure of my soul. دام سنره تقدم توسم نغايت ما غارت تمدام سنره تقدم توسم دلغ يلا كيس مقهر يطكل انتو ماسترتاي.
Band Tanarawen, great desert blues band from northern Mali, and collaborating there with Tunde and Kip from TV on the Radio. Ian Brennan produced that record. It was Grammy nominated, right?
Grammy winning,
yes. Now, you said that record was done, you know, it was very kind of stripped down, bare bones production, and that seems to be the way you work.
Yeah, I believe. I mean, I'm not anti-anything, and there's no right way or wrong way to do something. I mean, it's just a means to an end. But I do really believe in live performance and holistic performances. I believe that the process should not be painful. It should be joyful.
So when you went to Tanzania to record the Tanzania Albinism Collective, just couple of mics, some instruments for the players, workshops to teach them. Is that essentially how it worked?
Yeah, I mean, there's more than a couple of mics. You know, I do my best to record things as well as I can. I want to make things that are beautiful. Mm-hmm. To me, the story is not enough. We have a lot of records we will not release that we've done that are perfectly good. But it's not just a backstory. The record has to stand on its own, and I do my best to present it in the best possible light with my meager engineering skills. But I bring really good mics. Uh-huh. To me, good mics, great voices, and the truth, and it's hard to go wrong.
What about the three chords?
No, the three chords you got to get rid of. That's the first thing that's what seems to have been forgotten by most bands in America. Do not ever play those three chords again, please.
So the piece we're going to hear next is called Tanzania Is Our Country Too. And you were mentioning before, they're not just sad songs. They have a kind of joyful, courageous, I mean, there's a kind of defiance in this song, it seems.
Oh, absolutely. There's an assertion, there's a defiance, oftentimes for the first time. I mean, it was, I believe that in an ideal world with a recording, you're hearing the birth of a sound. You're mm-hmm. hearing something, a sound that's never been made before. Great vocalists do that. But unfortunately, once they do it, then they begin to repeat it, and it becomes like a trained seal. And so we're hearing on this record individuals for the first time having this opportunity, and they've expressed this sense over and over again. And so with this record, the Tanzania Albinism Collective record, very similar to the Zomba Prison record, there was a level of shock on the part of many individuals that this could even happen, that anybody would care, but an even greater level of shock that people listened and cared once it was done. With Zomba Prison, when we went back, we've been back many times, and when we went back the first time, they really expressed that they could not believe that the record had been heard outside the prison. And what they meant, they were pointing over the wall.
Right.
They didn't mean America.
They didn't mean, New York or L.A.
They meant like 10 feet over that wall. They couldn't believe that anybody could care about what they would do or had done.
Yeah. Well, let's hear this song from the Tanzania Albinism Collective, produced by my guest, Ian Brennan.
Koswe imani hata ya kufanya kazi Tumekuwa romba omba kama ndege Tumekuwa watu kama tunawezo Tumekuwa kama watu tunawezo kufanya kazi Sisi na huku tunazo akili na uelewa kwetu Tanzania yetu
Now, Ian, that song is just over 60 seconds long, but man, it packs a lot into that small space.
Yeah.
There's a whole community singing, it sounds like, by the end.
There is. There were 20 people involved in the record, and the vast majority of them are on that 60-second song, pitching in. Because they all contributed to this idea that, wait, this is our country.
Right.
You know, we may be mistreated, but this is our homeland. We love it. We might have an ambivalent relationship to it, but we ultimately, they love it, and they just want, they want what I think we all want, which is to be understood and to belong.
And to be heard.
Yes.
So let me now ask you about the title of the record by the Tanzania Albinism Collective. It's called White African Power, which is certainly a provocative title.
Well, it creates dissonance, and I think all good art should. If we don't feel differently after we've listened to something, then why bother? And so this is something that arose from the biggest group collective on the record, and the subtitle of the song is We Live in Danger, which I think is that great complexity and a mark to how strong they are as artists, even though this might be their initial venture mm-hmm. into this type of creative process. And, you know, I think that it's a sad, sad, tragic irony that they're in a country where people die in some cases from skin whitening overdoses to try to be what they think those individuals think might be more appealing or beautiful. But if you're too white, in their case, you can be hunted and killed and raped and ostracized. And I think that's a pretty graphic illustration of just how all hatred is basically based on ignorance, yeah. based on not really processing things fully and well, and lack of empathy, obviously.
Well, with the Zumba Prison Project, you mentioned you'd gone back several times. With many of those people still in the prison, you can't very well take them out on the road and put them in front of an audience. You were able to do that with the people from this island in Tanzania, right?
Yeah, we were with the Tanzania Albinism Collective. It was very difficult. So we did a little warm-up show in London, and it was pretty disastrous. You know, it was not so good on a technical level, but the spirit of it was beautiful, and it got better as it went along. And then they did their full-blown performance at WOMAD that Saturday, and there was just a complete transformation. And I can honestly say it was one of the best performances I've ever seen. And I told people, announced right before, I said, if you're looking for something slick, if you're looking for something, virtuosic, go somewhere else. And don't buy this record. You won't like it. But if you're looking for a record that's as unique as anything you'll hear this year, buy it. And if you're looking for a one-of-a-kind performance, this will be one, but I don't know if it'll be good. And they came out and gave one of the most singular performances for an hour that I've ever seen. People were in tears.
Obviously I wasn't there. It was in England, but I heard that it was just, you know, they basically, people couldn't remember anything else except them afterwards.
It was electrifying. It was electrifying. And in London, as rough as that first performance was, I had this big, gruff kind of soccer hooligan guy come up to me, and I thought he was going to, kind of confrontationally, I thought he was going to maybe kick my ass or want his money back, but he came up and he was crying, and he said, that was the most honest performance I've ever seen in my life. And wow. Then he hugged me and he walked away. So I would love for them to be able to share that with the world. I think it's a positive thing.
Okay. Now, this might be the money question then. What, if any, reaction has this record gotten in Tanzania?
Well, very little. They were very proud, though, I'll tell you, when the group members, the ones who came to the UK, you know, they were on the BBC and interviewed by The Guardian and did a lot of pretty high-profile things. But what meant the most to them in the whole world were they were on Swahili TV.
Mm.
That blew their mind.
To think that they, who
their whole lives have been and have been, you know, basically told to shut up,
right,
were now on the television, that, you know, that some of them, if they had the opportunity to watch television or to hear radio on a daily basis, that was their lifeline, and they were there. And that was just an incredible thing. So they articulated that more than once, that they had to go outside their country to be heard within their country.
Right, right. And if you want to affect change for these people, that, you know, the London thing is lovely, but it's not going to affect change back home. The Swahili TV, maybe.
Yeah, it might. I might. I mean, I think the thing about a project like this is that the expectations have to be modest.
Yeah.
These are not events. This is process. So with something like this, what we want is minimization.
Mm-hmm.
We want to educate people to see these individuals in a more healthy light and a more accurate light. And so I think it's in our, you know, best interest, and it's in our responsibility to have compassion for one another and to see the potential in people, for them to be transformed, to become better people, you know, meaning more caring to others.
So this sounds like it might be the kind of thing you write about in your latest book, which is called How Music Dies or Lives: Field Recording and the Battle for Democracy in the Arts.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long book. It wasn't meant to be a long book. It has pictures from my wife Marlena Deli, and it has a foreword from Corin Tucker from Slater Kenny. So I always tell people that buy the book for the pictures and the foreword, and then as a bonus, you'll get 400 pages of me ranting and raving and basically asking questions, not giving answers. So much so that now there's a second book that's going to come out called Silence by Sound, that's going to come out next year.
There's also a new project that you've worked on with called Abatwa, which is a pygmy project from kind of central eastern Africa?
Yes, the border of Rwanda and Burundi, nomadic tribe. The record is Abatwa the Pygmy. I should say the collective, the group is that. And the record is Why Did We Stop Growing Tall, which is a song by one of the elders in the community.
And again, non-musicians.
This project is about half and half. It's a really interesting mixture because it is non-musicians, mostly from the far out villages, with traditional musicians. Because in Rwanda, in particular, often people from the Twa, the Abatwa tribe, were the music makers for the royalty in the past, still to this day for weddings. So what's interesting about that is I think that it's fairly seamless for people to try to tell, well, who are the non-musicians and the musicians. I think that aside from maybe the obviously traditional songs that are a little bit more virtuosic, I think they'd have a really hard time telling who is who, but just that there's some really good stuff on the album.
We're speaking with producer and author Ian Brennan, responsible for the Zomba Prison Project, the Tanzania Albinism Collective, Abatwa the Pygmy. And I want to wrap up with one of the stranger songs from the Tanzania Albinism Collective, which is called Never Forget the Killings. And I don't mean to laugh at the title, but this is Pachelbel's canon.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's they were left to their devices, and the individual on the song is Riziki, is a little bit more techie, so he took to the keyboard and he fixes cell phones as a supplemental income to his farming, and so he was able to work with the keyboard and felt very comfortable with it, and this is what he came up with.
All right. Well, we'll hear this to wrap up this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. Ian Brennan, it's really been a pleasure following your work over the years. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Tunabaguliwa, tunabaguliwa, tunabaguliwa. Sisi alubino, tunabaguliwa, tunabaguliwa, tunabaguliwa. Sitasahau mauaji yetu, sitasahau mauaji yetu, sitasahau.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast. Most of these podcasts are built around live in-studio performances. Check out our archives and video at soundcheck.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was George Wellington. We had production assistance from Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.